Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Richard White, a leading historian of the American West and environmental history, examines the Columbia River as a place where natural processes, human labor, technology, and power have become inseparable. Published in the Hill and Wang Critical Issues series, that uses one river system to rethink broader assumptions about nature and culture. Rather than treating the Columbia as either untouched wilderness or a purely engineered resource, White presents it as a system shaped by flowing water, salmon, native communities, industrial capitalism, federal power, and modern energy demand. The book focuses especially on work and energy, showing how people and the river have continually acted upon one another. Its purpose is not only to narrate environmental degradation, but also to explain how human attempts to harness a river transformed the ecology, economy, and meaning of the Pacific Northwest. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Columbia River as a system of energy, labor, and movement. A central contribution of the organic machine is its focus on energy and work as the link between human history and river history. White does not describe the Columbia only as scenery, habitat, or resource. He treats it as a moving system that converts gravity, water, fish migration, human muscle, machines, and electricity into forms of power. This framework allows him to connect activities that might otherwise appear separate, including native fishing, commercial salmon, harvesting, navigation, irrigation, hydropower, and industrial development. The river matters because it does work, and people repeatedly reorganize their own work around what the river can provide. This approach also changes the meaning of environmental history. Instead of presenting nature as a passive background affected by human decisions, White shows the Columbia as an active force that enables, resists, and redirects human plans. The concept of the organic machine captures this tension. The river is organic because it is ecological, seasonal, and living. It is machine-like because people increasingly force it to serve organized systems of production, transportation, and power. Secondly, native communities and salmon economies before large-scale industrial remaking. White gives significant attention to the long relationship between indigenous peoples and the Columbia, especially through salmon. Native communities did not simply live beside the river. They developed social, economic, and cultural practices around its seasonal energy flows. Salmon runs connected river ecology with human subsistence, trade, labor, and ceremony. This history matters because it complicates the idea that the river became valuable only when white settlers, engineers, and businesses began to improve it. The Columbia was already a worked landscape, but the forms of work were adapted to recurring natural cycles rather than designed to override them completely. By placing native labor and knowledge near the beginning of the analysis, White avoids the common environmental history pattern in which indigenous peoples appear only as victims of later development. At the same time, he shows how colonial expansion and commercial extraction disrupted older relationships to the river. The decline of salmon was not merely a biological event. It also damaged food systems, political autonomy, and cultural continuity for communities whose lives depended on the river as a living source of energy. Thirdly, commercial fishing, overharvest, and the first major rupture in the salmon system, before the most dramatic dam-building projects. The Columbia had already been reshaped by commercial fishing and the salmon canning industry. White treats this period as an important stage in the river remaking because it reveals how market demand can transform ecological abundance into scarcity. Salmon, once understood through seasonal return and local use, became a commodity moving through industrial processing and distant markets. The problem was not only that more fish were taken. The logic of extraction changed the relationship between people and the river, canners, fishers, regulators, and local communities all had competing interests, and the cumulative result placed pressure on salmon runs that had supported human life for generations. This part of the book is important because it resists a simple story in which dams alone caused the ecological crisis. Dams intensified and institutionalized the transformation, but earlier commercial practices had already weakened the salmon system. White uses this history to show that environmental decline often emerges through linked decisions, each rational within a narrow economic frame, but destructive when combined across a river basin. Fourthly, dams, hydropower, and the federal transformation of the river, the construction of major dams on the Columbia, marks the most visible form of remaking in White analysis. Dams converted a dynamic river into a managed infrastructure for hydropower, flood control, navigation, irrigation, and regional growth. This transformation was often justified as public progress, especially through the promise of cheap electricity and economic modernization. White does not reduce dam building to simple villainy. He recognizes that these projects served real human purposes and became central to the development of the Pacific Northwest. Yet he also shows that the benefits depended on imposing a new order on the river, one that interrupted salmon migration, altered seasonal flows, submerged places, and changed the meaning of labor around the river. The engineered Columbia became less a river to be lived with and more a system to be scheduled, regulated, and optimized. This topic demonstrates the strength of the book. It can explain why technological intervention appeared desirable while still showing the ecological and social costs that were hidden or minimized by the language of improvement. Lastly, the false separation between nature and culture in environmental thought. One of the most influential aspects of the organic machine is its challenge to the strict divide between nature and culture. White argues through historical example that the Columbia cannot be understood as either natural or artificial. It is both at once. Human beings have depended on its energy, modified its channels, harvested its fish, built machines into it, and tried to repair some of the damage they caused. At the same time, the river has never become a completely obedient artifact. Water flow, fish biology, climate, geography, and ecological feedback continue to shape what human systems can and cannot do. This argument has methodological importance beyond the Columbia River. It suggests that environmental history should not treat human action as external to nature, nor treat nature as a romantic space outside history. The most revealing questions concern relationships, exchanges, and unintended consequences. White approach is especially useful for studying modern environmental problems because many damaged landscapes are not simply ruined nature. They are hybrid systems in which ecological processes and technological structures remain entangled. In conclusion, the organic machine is especially valuable for readers interested in environmental history, the American West, indigenous history, river systems, and the politics of technological development. Students and scholars will find it useful because it offers a compact model of how to write environmental history without separating ecology from labor, economics, or public infrastructure. General readers can benefit from its clear explanation of how a familiar idea, making nature useful, can produce complex and lasting consequences. The book also provides a practical intellectual lesson: environmental damage is rarely the result of a single mistake. It often develops through many connected decisions that reorganize natural systems around human expectations of efficiency, profit, energy, and control. Compared with broader surveys of American environmental history, White Book stands out because of its concentrated scale and conceptual precision. It does not attempt to cover every river or every conservation debate. Instead, it uses the Columbia River as a focus case through which larger questions become visible. Its distinctiveness lies in the organic machine concept, which captures the uncomfortable reality that modern environments are neither untouched nature nor mere technology. They are living, engineered, contested systems that continue to shape human choices even after being heavily transformed. If you would like to support Richard White, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.